Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, one thing's perfectly clear. It's hard not to see it. I think we all agree it. Everything's better with beer.
All right. Each November, beer fans line up on Black Friday to secure a bottle of Goose Island's Bourbon County Stout. Now, the stout is aged in bourbon barrels and comes in a traditional Bourbon County Stout variant, as well as a number of special edition variants that are distributed with very limited quantities. Now, before I introduce our guest from Goose Island, I have one critical beer and bourbon connoisseur with us in studio. It's Kevin Powell from WGN Sports. What's going on, buddy?
I'm doing very, very well, Dave, because I have a bunch of delicious taste. I'm assuming delicious tasting beer in front of me, so I'm very excited to be participating in this with you.
Now, more bourbon or more beer guy are you?
More beer, I would say. Okay. But I don't mind sipping on a bourbon. It's, you know, holidays coming up here. I'm sure I'll have plenty of glasses of bourbon sitting around.
During the pandemic, has that consumption changed a little bit?
All of my alcohol consumption has been elevated during the pandemic.
Yeah, right.
Days.
I think all of ours has. Yeah. So we were talking about that these beers are, you know, 13, 14% alcohol compared to a normal beer, whatever it is, 3%.
I'm not pouring these in a beer bong, Dave. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, we are not. Yeah, this is going to be, at the end of this, we want to get home safely, right?
Correct.
Exactly right. And joining us, of course, is my pal, as he does every single year, Mike Siegel. He's a brewery research and development manager for Goose Island. Welcome in, buddy.
Thanks for having me, David. Great to be here again. We're here virtually because we have to be, but normally I'm in there in the studio with you.
Yeah.
But thanks for having me once again.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to see the expressions on each other's faces when you're tasting stuff, but for the audience and our listeners, I want them to know what this is all about and what kind of flavors are in here. And so just so they know like what they're getting themselves into. And what I want to do first is let's talk about this iconic brand, this Bourbon County Stout, how it all started and where's it going?
It started at the original Clybourne Brew Pub, 1800 North Clybourne, the Goose Island Brew Pub. Started in 92, I believe. Greg Hall, who was the brewmaster at the time, wanted to celebrate the 1,000th batch of the beer that was brewed at the brew pub. This is just when Goose Island was a brew pub. Wasn't making bottled beer or keg beer even. He wanted to celebrate the 1,000th batch, and he wanted to do something really special. If you guys know Bell's Brewery, at the time, Bell's was kind of commemorating every 500 brews or 1,000 brew. So Greg liked that idea, and he wanted to do something special. And he liked the idea of doing this big imperial stout. So really, really high alcohol, lots of malt, lots of dark malt to give it a lot of those kind of chocolate notes, that coffee notes. And he wanted to put it into a bourbon barrel. He did a bourbon beer and cigar dinner with Booker No of Jim Beam, the legendary Booker No. And he sat next to him at this dinner, and they talked about getting bourbon barrels, Jim Beam barrels, to Goose Island. And I believe the next week the barrels showed up, and Greg made this beautiful big, big beer and put it into these bourbon barrels. And it was the first bourbon barrel-aged stout. And now you can't go to a brewery in the United States, really, that is not at least have one barrel of barrel-aged stout sitting in a corner somewhere. We don't use the term very often, but legendary, you know, it set the standard for an entire new style of beer, Bourbon County Stout.
Well, I was saying Bourbon County really is the crown jewel of any bourbon beer that's out there. And it is so highly anticipated. We're talking about, and I don't know how that's going to be working this year at your local liquor store and how you wait in line and stuff, but there's people that literally wait outside for days before Thanksgiving to camp out to get their bottles, which is crazy.
Yeah, and yeah. Obviously this year we have been working with our great retail partners to get away from that. We don't want lines. We don't want crowds, obviously. So we've had a lot of discussions with our retail partners locally. That's Jewel, that's Biddy's, there's many retail partners. Yeah. And we've given them our suggested recommendations for how to deal with getting the beer into people's hands. And that usually involves timed pickups, pre-purchasing, you know, things where people aren't all in the same place at the same time. So you would, let's say you pre-purchase the entire release, the 7-bottle release this year, you would get it in a box, you would pre-purchase it, and then they would give you a date and a time where you pick it up. So let's say between 9 and 10 a.m. on a certain day. So it's all very strategic, and I think from what I've seen, it's working very well.
Very cool. Now, the other thing with all this is that, you know, as you as you're getting and picking this stuff up, these bottles and these beers, they age very, very well. So, you know, as the years go on, those are very, very highly sought after when you've got some older bottles that are out there. And the price goes up on these things, too. I mean, you know, whatever you would pay for it when you originally, you could be paying top dollar for these because, as I said, they age very well.
Yes, the particularly, and we'll get into the nuances of the beers. We're gonna be trying 7 of them here. We don't put that statement on all of them. All of them will give you a couple years for sure. Some of these towards the end that we're going to taste, we feel like are going to be best consumed now or in the next year or two. But Bourbon County Stout, the original, that beer, I've had 15-year-old bottles of Bourbon County Stout that still tasted great.
Wow, so, that's great.
People put it in their cellar, and they keep it at cellar temperature like you would wine, and they treat it right, and the beer will hold up for sure.
Very cool. All right, let's kick it off with the original.
Yeah, let me know once you guys are tasting. Yep. Again, I don't have the normal cues, but so you know Bourbon County Stout, David. It's again, this is the most important beer that we make every single year, because, as you said, it has such a fan following. And again, not this year, but every year up to this point, it's been there's been such a desire to get people's hands on this beer, waiting in line, like you said, a couple of days sometimes. But most importantly, people love the beer. It's released one time a year. On Black Friday, we release it all across the country. Chicago gets the most, of course. We love Chicago the most. This is our home.
Right.
But we do sprinkle it throughout the country, but it all gets released on one day of the year, Black Friday. And, of course, this year is a little bit different. We're having to change that up as far as the release date. Just we can't have everybody going to the same stores on the same date. So traditionally, I should say, it would be released on Black Friday. This year, we had to get a little bit more creative.
And this beer, just to give our listeners a chance to understand, like what the tasting notes kind of are in here. I mean, you taste a little. What do you taste? Cocoa?
I'm getting a pinch of chocolate, a little bit.
Yeah, a little vanilla
from the dark malts
and the dark malts, of course.
The malts give you those cocoa and some of those caramel notes. And bourbon sounds like you guys know bourbon as well. Bourbon is a lot of vanilla from the vanillin, the compound in American oak that. Bourbon is aged in it's exactly the same as vanilla. The caramelized notes come from the actual barrel being charred, and it caramelizes the wood sugar, so you get caramel. Vanilla and caramel are very common if you know bourbon and well aged bourbon, and then you can get into things like cinnamon, maybe some kind of spicier notes, fruity, kind of citrus, sometimes berry and cherry. I think all those things are in Bourbon County Stout. It's such a complex beer. I mean, you could just, and again, I hope you guys, David, you know how to do this, but I hope you're drinking it, you know, maybe not room temperature, but not quite ice cold either.
Right. Like,
that's a great,
yep.
You know, you want to pour this out and let it get up to at least 50 degrees, 55, even 60 degrees. And you're going to bring out so much more of the aromatics and the flavor when it's warmed up a little bit. So again, throw out all the normal rules with beer, drinking beer with Bourbon County Stout.
Yeah.
Pour it into a nice snifter that will kind of bring the aromatics up to your nose and sip on it. Don't guzzle it. Just enjoy it.
The aromas, as you mentioned, it just like I've had my nose buried in the glass here, just picking it up. It's interesting to hear you talk about all the different tastes as I'm sipping on it because you mentioned it. I'm like, oh, there's a little berry. I see what he's saying there. And of course, the vanilla is prominent. It's obviously outstanding.
Good stuff.
Yeah, and the beer is aged in bourbon barrels, so freshly dumped bourbon barrels for a year. And over that year, we, of course, pick up the flavors of the bourbon. We pick up the flavors of the oak. But the beer takes on some nutty notes. So what happens is a bourbon barrel is liquid tight. It holds the beer, but it's not airtight. So it does let some air in, and that allows some gentle oxidation to the beer. That's usually a bad word with beer. But what it happens with Bourbon County Stout is it takes on an almond kind of nuttiness to it after that year. So add nutty, kind of a nutty almond character to the flavor descriptors here. So now, again, very complex beer.
Now, I swear I didn't taste any of these, and it's been killing me because I've been sitting here now for about a half hour staring me down. But the next one we're going to try is a collaboration with Old Forester, and that's one of my favorite go-to bourbons. So tell us a little bit about this.
Old Forester, yeah. We've gotten to know the folks down there quite well the last couple of years. They've been up to see us a couple times. We've been down to see them. I was actually down there in February. Old Forester is making fantastic. They make bourbons. They make ryes, and just excellent stuff. And one of the most highly sought after bourbons in general, and probably their highest, their biggest release of the year is their birthday bourbon release. And that's commemorating the birthday of George Garvin Brown, the founder of Brown-Forman. So they're part of a large distillery group that's just making excellent bourbons. And so Old Forester is their birthday bourbon. Every year it's a little bit different. This year's is that this year's release for Bourbon County used last year's birthday bourbon barrels, of course, because it's aged for a year. So this is 2019 birthday bourbon barrels that we got an aged Bourbon County Stout. Everything else, so this is a nice comparison. If you go back to the original, the first one you tasted, and this one, the only difference is the barrels. So I should have noted that the original Bourbon County Stout uses about four-year-old bourbon barrels. Heaven Hill, which is like Evan Williams, Buffalo Trace, Wild Turkey, you guys know those.
Yep.
Great bourbons. This birthday bourbon is 11-year-old bourbon from Old Forester.
Wow.
All filled on the same day. They selected these barrels out. And you can't even really find a bottle of this stuff. I mean, you guys know bourbon. I don't know if you had 2019 birthday bourbon. I had to use some connections to get a bottle.
Did you really? Okay, all right.
Yeah, oh yeah. It's an incredible bourbon, but it's one of these bourbon. You know how bourbon is these days. These prestige bourbons. They don't even get on the shelf. You gotta know somebody.
Now,
and that bourbon had notes of berry and maple, and to me that transfers directly to the beer.
I taste the maple,
super fruity.
I taste the maple, maple, and a little bit of cinnamon, maybe even in there too.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Cinnamon. They called out black currant. I'm not super familiar with black currant, but for me it's just kind of a mixed kind of strawberry, blackberry, even a raspberry, just very fruity. Excellent. It's an excellent bourbon, and I think it really translated well in this beer.
Kev, what are you catching in this?
A little bit of like you mentioned rye bourbon, and I don't know how that factors in here, but kind of on a similar note to it, where you do get a little bit of a cinnamon, I guess you would go with, but of course the berry is pronounced as you said as well. So a little bit more of a, this is probably more of a general term, but a little bit more of a kick than the first one we had, it's got a little bite to it.
Yeah, it's, again, these are all, you know, kind of 14.5%, 15% alcohol beers, and I think it's quite smooth, but it's a pronounced fruitiness, and I like the call out on the maple and the cinnamon. What they do at Old Forester, they make their own barrels, so they have their own cooperage. This is pretty unique within distilleries. So they're able to toast their barrels and then char them and really kind of bring out those cinnamon notes, those maple notes, those vanillas, those caramels are all coming from the barrel. The fruitiness, I think, comes from their yeast strains, which they develop themselves, and they bring a lot of fruitiness in their bourbons, and I think, again, it translates to the beer very well.
Kevin Powell is with us in studio, and we're talking to Mike Siegel with Goose Island about the highly anticipated Bourbon County Stout release for 2020. There's more when we come back on 720 WGN. State Flyer on 720 WGN. We're talking to Mike Siegel of Goose Island about the highly anticipated Bourbon County Stout release for 2020. My pal Kevin Powell. And I'm trying to think like when we were last talking on the air together. It's been a long time.
Oh boy, long time. Probably since when I was on the morning show. I think that would be the last time.
That would have been it. And you and I worked together, I think, when I used to fill in for Dean, like almost 10 years ago. You were producing.
Pretty
but
close.
But we were talking
about
it.
Yeah, probably about 7, 8 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while.
And now here we are drinking beer together.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Absolutely. So the next one we have here is a partnership with, or a collaboration with your friends at Weller. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, much like the previous one with Old Forester, we're developing these relationships with the distilleries, and we've been using bourbon barrels. You know, I mentioned going back to the mid '90s when we started Bourbon County Stout. We've been using lots of bourbon barrels, but you know, thinking about how we treat other ingredients when it comes to hops and malt, like we really want to dig into the best quality ingredients, and a bourbon barrel for Bourbon County Stout is an ingredient, right? You
right.
can't get Bourbon County Stout without a bourbon barrel. And we really want to work with the best bourbon makers, the best bourbon distilleries in the United States. And Old Forester is one of them. And certainly Weller is as well. And you guys, if you follow the bourbon chases this time of year with Van Winkle and all that, Weller and Pappy Van Winkle are essentially cousins. And so this beer is aged in Weller 12 barrels. It's 12-year-old Weller barrels. The only difference between Weller 12 and Van Winkle 12 is that Julian Van Winkle goes in and selects certain barrels, all from the same lot, and that becomes Van Winkle 12. The rest of the barrels become Weller 12.
Ah.
The same exact juice, the same mat, you know. And people, you know, bourbon enthusiasts, once the Pappy's got, you know, really, really hard to get like 5, 6 years ago, and Weller 12 was sitting on the shelf, everybody said, well, wait a second, this bottle's sitting on the shelf for 40
yeah.
bucks. I can't, you know, I'm paying, you know, aftermarket prices for Van Winkle, and now you can't get Weller 12 either. So you go to any shop, you won't see Weller 12. If you do, it's, you know, it's some outrageous price.
Now you talk about the barrels. I bought, when I was doing my pickup on prop day, I bought a stack of like cut pieces of the barrel to throw in the fireplace, and what you smell in those, that's how important it is. I mean, you smell the bourbon, you get the beer, you get the oakiness, you get the maple, you get a little bit of everything. Just when I'm smelling the wood from the barrel itself, this one here, I'm tasting actually more bourbon. I actually taste the bourbon here.
I'm getting heavy caramel on it as well, a little bit of cinnamon, and all of them really, the berries too. But for me, my initial was caramel coming out.
Yeah, so the key difference here, again, comparing to the first two were same. All three of these first three have the same beer, and just age in a bourbon barrel, nothing else added. The big difference here is we age this one 2 years in the barrel. So the first two, 1 year age, this one doubles. So 2 years in the barrel. And with that, of course, you get more contact with the oak. You guys said more bourbon, 100% more oak, that a little bit of a tannic finish to it. I get some nice dried fruit character, which is a result of just extended aging time. It's a beautiful beer. And, you know, we've been doing tastings of these, distanced and with Zoom calls and all that, with some media and whatnot. And I can definitely say that each one of these that we've going to go through is somebody's favorite. A lot of people, anniversary is their favorite. A lot of people, birthday is their favorite. You know, I'll let you guys decide what your favorite is, but 12-year-old Weller barrels, 2 years. The only difference between these three is just, you know, the different barrels and the different aging time. It's, you know, for me, they stand apart, and, you know, it's, they're fun projects to do.
The proprietors is next. And that's always a great story, because you pick somebody, you know, there's a lot of competition to make this beer, this Bourbon County Stout. And Emily Cosmel, I believe I've talked to her before on air, maybe with you, but she's a third generation Italian American brewer, and she kind of is the star of this show. And I'm really excited about tasting this one, because it's very unique the way it is described. It's like Spumoni. Brewers do something that inspires them. Maybe something from their childhood. Maybe something that they've always wanted to put together. And that's what her big choice was.
I kind of perked up, Dave, right when I got the aromas on this one. I was like, "Whoa, okay,
yeah, right." This one's
very distinct,
very much so. Yeah, tell us about it.
So these next four that we're going to taste are different because they're barrel aged beers that we then add ingredients stew. So the first three are just a beer that we put into a bourbon barrel and age. These next four, we put a beer into a bourbon barrel and then add some different ingredients that we feel harmonize with the beer. So in the case of Proprietors, you mentioned, it's a little internal competition we do. We're going to be doing it again in January, and it usually goes for about 2 months. And brewers submit liquid samples. So we give them Bourbon County Stout or other – we'll get into the wheat wine in a minute. We give them jugs of the beer to take home. They go to their kitchens, and they get their various different ingredients, and they put it together, and they have to bring it into the brewery and give us a liquid proof of concept. So it's something we can actually taste, not just on paper, mm-hmm. like, here's my idea. We want to taste the idea. And Emily, as you mentioned, she created 2016 Proprietors. So she's actually our first brewer to create two Proprietors.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
This is a badge of honor, you know, within Goose Island. And she's an excellent brewer. She's previous to brewing with us, she was a flavor chemist. So she's very in tune with flavors. And so, again, you mentioned third generation Italian-American. She actually had a dream, and she was thinking, her husband's also a brewer for us. He'd been working on his variety for weeks. She had no idea what to do. She said she had a dream, and the dream told her, make Spumoni. And she woke up, whipped something up, and her husband's been working on this for weeks, and he tasted. He goes, yours is better than mine.
Dude,
just whipped it up.
I taste it all. I taste the cherry. I taste the chocolate, the vanilla. Like, I feel like I'm having a little dessert here. It's really great. Kev?
Yeah, it's fun. We used, for the cherry, we used a wild. So I don't know if you guys are familiar with, like, if you do, like, cocktail cherries and all that. But yeah. Luxardo is kind of the mm-hmm. probably the biggest, like, of the quality brands. There's a lesser-known brand called Fabri. And they make a wild, these little jars. You can give it Whole Foods for like $10, these tiny little jars. It's the same type of thing. It's a cherry. This is a wild cherry from Italy, packed in a beautiful, a sweet syrup of its own juice. So it's a little bit different than a Luxardo in flavor. She preferred these Fabri Amarinos to the Luxardos in this case, just for the profile of Spumoni. So we added just a boatload of pistachios, roasted, not salted, but roasted pistachios, wow. Cocoa nibs, and a little bit of vanilla. It all comes together. And to me, it's like chocolate covered cherries with a little nuttiness mm-hmm. to it. And it's, you know, we always want to be respectful to the idea. Like you said, like this was a flavor memory for her. This is something that was really important to her and I think most of these variants that our brewers come up with, there's some sort of nostalgia or flavor memory, like this is a dessert that I love, this is what my mom used to make. And I think that's why they really resonate. You know, we don't pick them based on the stories. We don't know the stories when we pick them. So me and the brewmaster, Keith, will pick them based purely on flavor. Like, first and foremost, these beers have to be great tasting. Right? They have to be winning flavor combinations. But then when we reveal, and I say, well, here's who won, and the people say, well, here, that was my idea, then we get into the story, and it makes it even better. So we love stories at Goose Island. We love telling stories. It's flavor, but then the stories almost always are just these excellent flavor, nostalgia type of things.
I've absolutely loved doing this with an expert on the line because yeah. you get the flavors and you can't necessarily identify it, but you said it. It's almost like a chocolate covered cherry dusted in cocoa, something along those lines. Yeah. It's just, this one so far might be my favorite. Just unbelievable, unique flavor.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking to Mike Siegel from Goose Island. Kevin Powell is also joining us in the studio. We're talking about Bourbon County Stout. And there's more after the news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next on 720 WGN. Dave Plyer on 720 WGN. We're talking to Mike Siegel from Goose Island about Bourbon County Stout and the new releases for 2020. Also, Kevin Powell joining us in studio. We've got three left here. Our next one, Mike, is, let's see here. It is Brand Special Number 4 Stout. Tell us a little bit about what we are about to taste here.
Do you guys like coffee?
Okay, I was going to jump in before you even started talking and just say coffee was the first aroma, first scent, first flavor I picked up.
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we are no strangers to using coffee in Bourbon County Stout variants. It's actually our first variant of Bourbon County Stout was Bourbon County Coffee back in 2009. Every single one of them has been made with our next door neighbor, Intelligentsia. You guys are probably familiar with Intelligentsia if you like coffee. They're our next door neighbor, which makes us great partners, but, you know, very easy partners. So we can just go next door, grab the coffee. And so the story about special number four goes back to last year. And we had some extra extra ingredients, let's say, laying around from making Bourbon County Stout last year. And we had brewed a batch of an oatmeal stout variant of Bourbon County Stout. So we don't make brew house recipes. So like the malt bill recipe changes to Bourbon County Stout very often. It's such a beautiful beer. We don't want to mess with it, right? So, but we had a brewer of ours that wanted to make an oatmeal stout variant of Bourbon County Stout. And an oatmeal stout, if you're not familiar, is a very common type of stout. This being an imperial stout, we wanted to, again, make a big, big beer, but swap in this, essentially a caramelized oat for some of the malt in the beer. And what that does is bring a real rich nuttiness to the aroma and a lot of kind of caramelized nutty flavor. So that's just the beer, aged in bourbon barrels for the better part of a year. And this is all last year. We blended in some leftover cold coffee and some coffee beans from Intelligentsia. And then we had some bourbon barrel aged maple syrup, which if you guys have never had bourbon barrel aged maple syrup, please stop what you're doing and go get it.
No,
because it's incredible.
It's really
You'll never
good.
Pour anything else on your
on your pancakes. No, you're right. I love it.
So we're going down this theme and we're putting this together, and we were calling it brunch at the time because of the oatmeal, because of the coffee, because of the maple syrup. It all kind of had this kind of brunch theme. And we released it internally for employees, for employee cases, and did a little bit of draft for the tap room, and it was a huge hit. So we said, well, we have to do it again. And so special number four, we couldn't use the brunch name because it was already used. So special number four references the diner culture of Chicago and that, you know, the laminated menu, if you can envision it. So it's a bit of a story behind the name, but you can envision going into a diner and give me special number four. It's just kind of throwing out the various ingredients into a diner culture theme. But without a doubt, coffee, that beautiful nuttiness. We want to be careful not get too sweet because that, you know, we can get carried away with that maple syrup because it's so good. But
yeah.
We want it to be reserved and just have a nice maple touch to it without being too sweet. It's without a doubt Bourbon County Stout. You know, and it's very much a close cousin to like Bourbon County Coffee. Dave, you know Bourbon County Coffee.
Yeah.
We haven't done that for a few years. So it's probably the closest we've been to Bourbon County Coffee since we last did it, but with just a few little differences, the oatmeal stout base and then the maple syrup. So I think it turned out fantastic.
It's very good. Kev?
You paint a great picture. I do completely. The flavors of being, you know, in a booth, in a diner, a bunch of pancakes in front of you, slathered in syrup with a hot cup of coffee in front of you. It's kind of all that packed into a beer. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
The next one we have here is the Kentucky Fog, and I'm an iced tea guy. I'm a tea guy in general. So, you know, as Kev was saying, you know, what is his favorite so far? The Proprietors is definitely on my list. I love the Old Forester. I really enjoy this one, and the aromatic of the tea, I can smell that as I'm putting the cup up to my lips, but I'm also tasting it. This might be one of my top ones this year.
This is an interesting one, and this is us going out on a limb here. I feel you know, it's easy, I think, these days to just go with vanilla and coffee and cocoa nibs and cinnamon. And brewer Paul Cade submitted this idea, and on paper, when we saw what he was trying to do, he said this says Earl Grey tea, black tea, and honey. And we saw that, and I was scratching my head. I go, "There's no way this is going to work," and it worked. And you know, if you're not familiar with Earl Grey tea, it's black tea with bergamot essential oil added to it, or an essence added to it. Bergamot's a sour lemon or sour lime, the Mediterranean. And so I get a lot of lemon lime out of this, just like I do in Earl Grey tea. I get a little bit of orange. I get black licorice, white pepper, some florals, just they're so complex. It's Bourbon County Stout, but it going down such a new and pleasant avenue for us. And I think it's just so exciting to be able to use a new ingredient like this, like tea, like we've never used before. We've been using coffee for 11 years, but to incorporate tea in such an expressive tea, truly exciting for me. So I feel like this one's probably going to be the most polarizing just because, at least on paper, but just like what you mentioned, as soon as people taste it, they go, man, it works.
Very cool. We're talking to Mike Siegel from Goose Island about the Bourbon County Stout releases for 2020. Kevin Powell is also in studio, and there's more when we come back on 720 WGN. State Player on 720 WGN. We're talking to Mike Siegel of Goose Island. Kevin Powell also joining us in the studio. We're talking about the highly anticipated Bourbon County Stout releases for 2020. Now, tell folks a little bit before we get into this last one here, which is the brand Carmella Ale. You know, what your job is every single day as research and development manager. That just sounds like the best damn job on the planet.
I'm quite fortunate. I've been with Goose Island for 9 years, started out as a brewer, did all the various things in the brewery. About 7 years ago, I was promoted to R&D manager, and essentially that's overseeing new beer development. You know, I think breweries these days, there's 10,000 breweries, right? And it's so competitive, and you have to stay on top of what you're doing in order to stay relevant. And Goose Island has been around for a long time, but we don't want to take anything for granted, right? So we need to be, the expectation, particularly these days at the consumer level, is what have you done for me lately? You know, what's people don't drink the same. My dad drinks Miller High Life and nothing else. And he's what they call like the perfect consumer for beer, because he doesn't think about what he drinks. He just goes and gets his beer. And I love my father, but like the new beer drinker is looking for literally a new beer every time they drink a beer.
Yeah.
And they don't want to drink the same thing twice. And so that's good for me, because what our job is, and it's not just me, it's an entire brewing team of 30 plus brewers creating ideas, is let's continue to keep innovating, doing new things, having fun. The beer world's changing very quickly. I mean, in the last couple of years, with so many breweries, it's changing very, very rapidly. Tastes are changing. You know, how people perceive beer is changing. You've got a lot of non-beer alcohol alternatives these days. So it's an incredibly fun job. I get to work with amazing people. It's a lot of challenges, but it's a lot of fun.
Very cool. Now, Prop Day, and I'll just tell you a little bit about this too, Kev, and our listeners. Prop Day is when, usually the week, 2 weeks before Thanksgiving, you go on a Sunday and you get your allotment. You can do some tastings outside. So you're really in 30 degree weather, trying to stay warm and going from building to building where Goose Island is, and you're tasting everything. And there's food, and there's inspired food from the Bourbon County Stout and everything else. This year obviously had to be a little bit different. I mean, this is like a 3-4 hour Sunday afternoon thing. By the time 5:30 comes along, I'm taking a nap because it has been a long day. And we'll talk about this later, too, but there is other products associated with this, too. There's a Bourbon County Stout cigar that you guys do with Updown Cigar, which I buy throughout the year as well, because, you know, the tobacco leaves and everything in the bourbon barrels is just spectacular. But this one was a little different. It was pull up, get your tag, and it was a drive-through. Got everything we needed, got some extra stuff inside. That's why I was so excited about the fact that you're selling the barrels as, like, firewood so that you could bring some of that aroma, whether you're, it was brilliant. I'm going to tell you right now, brilliant. So whether you're doing a bonfire in the backyard, fireplace in the house, what a great time to grab a Bourbon County and a cigar and enjoy the whole experience. But this last one here is Carmella Ale. It's like a candy kind of flavor. It's a wheat wine. And there's a story behind this one as well, Mike.
Yeah, so this is created by not one of our brewers, but one of our lab techs, Joey Tadai. He loves barrel-aged stouts. He loves barrel-aged beers. Joey's been with us for many years. So we opened our little competition that I mentioned earlier. We opened it up to our lab folks, because we're essentially hand in hand working with them every day, making sure that our beers are at the best they possibly could be. And Joey, for the last couple of years, actually, has been submitting a Bourbon County Stout variant that was inspired by his aunt's, his favorite dessert, which is his aunt's apple crisp recipe. And he wanted to kind of give it a little bit of a twist by adding some caramel notes to it, but essentially building on his favorite dessert. So kind of what we talked about earlier as far as like flavor memories and all that. Well, we had brewed Bourbon County Wheat Wine, and we've released it for the last couple of years, and we opened up the competition to that and said, well, if you've got an idea that works well with wheat wine, in addition to stout, then we're open to that. And so he's submitted for both the stout and the wheat wine. And the wheat wine, and David, you're familiar with it, but for listeners, it's not a stout at all. It's not dark. Yeah. Kind of in the glass, it looks kind of like a deep amber, mm-hmm. like a bourbon almost.
Right.
There's none of those dark malts that are in Bourbon County Stout that give it those cocoa roast flavors. So it's very kind of, it's still rich and sweet, kind of leaning more kind of caramels and vanilla. But Joey put this together and he added apple, cinnamon, and caramel, and it immediately just harmonized. You know, it's like great, perfect for this
sense.
Time of year. Just
absolutely.
Autumnal flavors. It all just worked together, and we were just absolutely thrilled with how it turned out. So we actually preferred how it turned out in the wheat wine to the stout. Both were great, but I think people are really going to like this one.
What are you catching, Kev?
Look, you started this part of the conversation talking about how many breweries there are in town and how many beer options there are, and sometimes it's tough for me to keep track of everything I've tried, but this is one of the more unique I've had. I absolutely love this. Right when I took in the aromas, I thought like French toast, something like that,
okay.
A little bit something
right.
like that, the
yeah.
caramel, but
yeah.
you know, it's
mm-hmm.
it's. I love this one. This is absolutely fantastic.
And when we talk in the sweetness of this, and people might say the sweetness in beer and stuff, it's a nice sweetness. It's not overpowering. It's just you catch those flavors. Again, as Kevin's just sticking his nose
it's
in
just,
the glass.
I mean, it's just fall in a glass. You mentioned the color. It's absolutely beautiful when you look at it. I mean, it looks like fall when you take a look at it in
does.
The glass.
It really does. It does.
Yeah.
And there's also, as we were talking about, there's a lot of other items related to Bourbon County Stout. Like we talked about the cigars from Updown Cigar that they're going to have, I think, in early December. There's maple syrup that is inspired by Bourbon County Stout. And there's some barbecue sauce, too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't actually had the barbecue sauce yet, but the maple syrup is outstanding. Get your hands on it if you can. It's, like I said,
I hate to say
you'll never put anything else on your pancakes.
My 15-year-old daughter loves it, and she, you know, because I mean, first of all, the alcohol's gone, obviously from that for the you know, at that point. But yeah, she loves the flavor on that on her pancakes. It's just spectacular. So again, Bourbon County Stout released on Black Friday. Again, tell us how this is going to work. You're working with retailers, so there isn't long lines. How is this all going again, Mike?
Yeah, all we can do is make suggestions, but it seems like everything's been going really well. So online ordering is almost across the board what's happening. The retailers are bundling. So again, we've been tasting these seven. People who would typically have the option, I want this one or I want this one. Well, we don't want people, you know, it just overcomplicates it. So it's like, it's kind of, most retailers are saying it's all or nothing, you know, or maybe like they'll do five of the seven or seven of the seven, two different packages, I think Biddy's is doing. So you can choose one of those and then they're spreading out. You prepay, you're not, you know, we don't want people lingering around. And then you get a date and a time window. So 9 to 10 a.m. on such and such date. This is when you're going to pick it up. We don't want any lines, we don't want any people congregating. Again, we're not selling the beer like our retailers are, but we're working with them to provide our suggestions. And so far, everything I've heard has been really great.
Very cool. Bourbon County Stout comes out Black Friday. Mike Siegel from Goose Island, always a pleasure. Hope to see you in the same room soon.
Likewise, David. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And Kev, thanks for hanging out. I've got an hour and a half left of this show, so I'm going to get some black coffee during the break. But I'm glad you enjoyed.
This was fantastic. Yeah. I mean, to have the expert himself on the air walking us through this, it's great to have. I've never really done a full-blown beer tasting with the expert, and I don't know if they do virtual ones now or anybody interested in that, but it just made the whole experience different. You start picking up on different notes and flavors when you'd listen to the experts, and they kind of come out. Everything was fantastic.
Take care.
All right, thanks, Kev. All right, news is next on 720 WGN.